Well, it's here. It's time. It's finally happening. Episode one of Beyond the Mic podcast. I am co-host Luke Scruggs along with host Trey Casey. Trey, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Down here in South Carolina, just enjoying the evening and getting ready for a good week of rodeo down in kind of northwest Georgia, Dahlonega, Georgia, is where, you know, where I'm headed this week, and with the 4L crew, Charlie and Wanda Lowry, and, you know, leave out tomorrow evening, but, you know, we're going to have us a good time this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good time with the 4L crew, huh?
Oh, yeah. Always great, great people to work for, but, you know, hey, so, you know, this being episode one, you know, we kind of just wanted to get on here, and we kind of wanted to, I guess you could say, introduce ourselves, you know, introduce ourselves, tell everybody, you know, tell the listeners, to whoever listens to this, you know, about us and what they're going to hear on this podcast.
Absolutely. And that's the thing we want to get on here and kind of share a little sneak peek into what you're going to see in the upcoming episodes, kind of tell you what it's about, what we're about, and give you an idea of what the podcast is going to be about in general.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, here, I mean, like I said, Beyond the Mic podcast, you may be wondering, what is Beyond the Mic? You know, and basically kind of what we want, you know, what we want to kind of show and, you know, put out for everybody to hear is life beyond the mic of two young rodeo personnel members, an announcer and a rodeo clown. And, you know, we just kind of want to get on here and we want to hear people's stories, you know, rodeo legends, you know, how they got started and, you know, what they're doing now, where they started, how far they've come, you know, just we want, you know, kind of show a great perspective of, you know, the sport we love so much.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the thing, Luke, you know, most people don't see the behind the scenes contestant wise, you know, personnel wise, committee wise, stock contractor wise, you know, nobody sees what all goes into the production of a rodeo, you know, the putting on of a rodeo, the getting to a rodeo. Everybody just shows up and for 2 hours they're entertained and they go home and they think that it just sits there the rest of the time. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Cause I mean, you know, like I said, I'm sure some people, you know, whenever they show up to a rodeo, they're like, wow, this is all just here.
Right. Well,
not exactly how all that works, you know.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot to it from starting on Monday or Tuesday, you know, to setting the arena up to, you know, getting your entries and, you know, getting the right livestock, getting the right amount of livestock, you know, getting them to the rodeo and to, you know, like having the rodeo, you know, just making it all happen, like I said, for 2 to 2.5 hours and make sure all the people that come watch the event is, you know, entertained in the best way possible.
Right. And the whole point of having the podcast, and like you had said, you know, we want to shed light on that and being two young people in the rodeo business, starting in the rodeo business, we want to bring the understanding to people so they can see what's beyond the mic. They can see us beyond the arena. You know, pull back the curtain on the grits, the laughs, the real stories from beyond the mic and behind the shoots, you know what I mean? The beyond the scenes, behind the scenes tales of rodeo and what goes on inside and outside the arena.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, and even, you know, we really, you know, one thing is newcomers to the sport of rodeo, people that may have never seen a rodeo before, you know, maybe, you know, we can educate, you know, certain people on what, you know, some things they may have thought and things that, you know, the things they did think that, you know, maybe it wasn't exactly the right, you know, thinking there, you know, wasn't the right way that they were thinking about it. So, right. I mean, like, see, that's just basically kind of what we want to do here, you know, with me and Trey, you know, we want to show everybody the behind the scenes and, you know, behind the scenes of rodeo and what it takes to even put on like a small town rodeo, you know, cause there's a lot goes into it. And, you know, and also, like you said, you know, we wanted to get on here this evening and kind of, you know, just introduce ourselves, you know, let you get to know us and what we do. And, you know, Trey, you want to kick it off?
Right. I don't mind, buddy. So basically, as y'all probably know, Trey Casey, professional, well, try to be professional, rodeo clown. I started probably, it would have been 4 years ago now. I was a little kid with a dream. I've always wanted to be a rodeo clown. I grew up watching guys like, well, Luke, you know him, you know, Dusty Myers, great guy. I grew up watching guys like him, Mike Wetworth, Ryan Rodriguez. You know, I watched them in the arena and outside the arena, got to hang out with them and watch them since I was a little kid. And I've just always been in love with the idea of being a rodeo clown. And I used to help Ryan and Dusty with their acts and stuff. And Dusty, you know, he gave me a pair of suspenders when I was a little kid, and that just meant the world to me, you know. And ever since then, I've just wanted to be a rodeo clown. And about 4 years ago, it was COVID, towards the end of COVID there, and not much was going on. We weren't in school, you know. And so I got this idea that I had lots of time, wasn't in school, didn't have anything to do, so I started kind of building some acts. And I was actually going to be a specialty act. I think we talked about this, Luke. You know, I can't imagine myself in a pair of tight white stranglers trying to twirl a rope, but that's what I was going to do. I was going to be a specialty act. But I decided that wasn't exactly me. I wanted to go with the clowning and the comedy. And so I started building some acts and stuff, and some great people right down the road. Well, I say right down the road from us, about an hour away from us. Pro Edge Arena, Earl and Carrie Proctor, been family friends forever. Called them up, asked them if I could come down and give clowning a try. They said, hey, bring it on. And I went down there. I had me a little barrel and a mic and some acts. Well, a act. And I tried it out, and it wasn't great, but it grew. And I like to say that I was Bob the Builder during the week and Rodeo Clown on the weekends, because it's about the same 600 or 700 people there every Saturday night. They got a little bull riding every Saturday night in the winter, and there's about the same amount of people and the same people there every week. So you got to bring a new act and new jokes every week. So I'd go home and build an act and come back that weekend and try it. And if it didn't work, we threw it away and started over. And if it did work, great, we had an act. But that's kind of how I got started. And my first year, I booked some rodeos and some bull ridings, and not very many. I probably had 10 or 15. That was my first summer, and man, I was in business. I thought that I was big time in it, man. I had some open rodeos and some bull ridings, and that's kind of how I got started. And the next year I had some more, and the year after that I had some even more, and had a bunch of IPRA rodeos and mid-state rodeos. And this last year I had a little over 60 rodeos, and got to work for an array of different contractors and guys that are great to work for, families that are great to work for, committees that are great to work for. And I've been blessed to work the Mid-State Finals, I believe three times now, and be voted Clown of the Year in that association. And I was really, really blessed to be voted top five IPRA Clown of the Year last year, along with my guys that I'm really good friends with, you know, Tyler Pettigrew, Mike Wetworth, Dusty Myers, all them guys. It was an amazing feeling to be able to stand on the stage with Dusty, or not Dusty, Mike and Tyler, and just to even be nominated for that award was just a really special moment for me. Because I mean, being a little 19-year-old kid from Michigan standing up there next to a guy like Mike Wetworth that you've looked up to your whole life, that's something, you know. It's something unbelievable, and something I dang sure didn't think I would get to. But I'm sure grateful and blessed to be able to do what I do. And it's been a journey, and something that, you know, I want to really talk about on the podcast and always shed light on is the journey people have. Because most of the time people look at the end result. You know, people don't get to see the late night drives and the you know, flat tires, and hear the stories about, you know, your horse getting sick or your bull getting sick or whatever. You know, they don't get to see any of that, or the muddy performances and the having to clean everything off just to go ahead and go do it again the next night. And nobody gets to see that. They just see the end result of, you know, you walking out in the arena, or, you know, a guy winning a world championship, but they don't see all the hard work and the dedication that it takes to get there. And I guess that's something that, you know, Luke and I are both passionate about bringing to this podcast, is the behind the scenes, the behind the mic look at what goes on in rodeo, you know.
Oh yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, like I said, you know, we talked, you know, just mentioned a second ago, like from the stock contractor, from setting the arena, livestock, putting on the rodeo. But I mean, there's also a lot that goes on, you know, from mine and your side of it, and we have to be ready whenever those lights come on and those people show up. And like I said, you know, from cleaning stuff up, you know, from like a muddy perf to, you know, making sure the inside of your trailer clean, make sure the outside of your truck's clean, making sure that, you know, like I said, you said the flat tires, you blow a tire. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't see that very much.
Oh, 100%. And that's the thing that, you know, I wanna make sure that we touch on and get the stories and get the meat and potatoes of rodeo in this podcast, because there's all kinds of rodeo podcasts. Everybody's got their own deal they like to listen to, and there's plenty of people telling stories and getting, you know, interviews with people and sharing a lot of rodeo memories. But I mean, the way I figure it is, there's so many people in the rodeo business that not everybody gets their story told. And there's a lot of people that, you know, have really cool stories, have really cool memories, have really cool, you know, things that have and been in cool events in their life, and they don't get to share them on a wider stage. And that's something that I really want us to be able to work on with this podcast, is getting those stories out to the world. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And you know, I mean, I know me and you've talked, you know, we've got some pretty good guests that we've got in mind that we'd like to try to get on here. You know, if we can get them, you know, if we can get all the guys that we want to get on here, you know, it should be a pretty good deal. You know, just to count off some people you've told me and some people I've told you, kind of the first ones we want to get on here to kick this thing off with a bang. You know, it ought to be a pretty good first, you know, first few episodes.
Oh, 100%. And that's the whole point of it, is to get the rodeo stories and get the rodeo memories and see how people got to start. And, you know, on that note, Luke, I kind of shared a little bit about how I got started. Tell us a little bit about how Luke Scruggs, professional rodeo announcer, came to be.
Well, whenever somebody asks me that question, how I got started, you know, I say that it kind of started by accident, per se. So, you know, for everybody that knows me, you know, everybody knows my brother. You know, he's a stock contractor here in the Southeast, and you know, I've always helped him, and we've always helped a guy by the name of Strawberry Pruitt, who lives out of Chesney, South Carolina. So, like, that's kind of how I started, like, rodeoing in general, is you know, just helping my brother, helping Strawberry. We've always done a lot of stuff with him, and you know, we're just all with each other, you know, going up and down the road every weekend somewhere, you know, doing a rodeo. But, you know, fast forward, you know, I started competing. I started being a contestant with, I was a shoot dogger and I was a team roper. And so, as you don't know what shoot dogging is, it's basically steer wrestling just coming out of a bucket chute. So one night I was in the practice pen, you know, getting ready for a junior rodeo that I was entered at, you know, that weekend. And my horse, you know, that night, he, something just didn't feel right about him after that first steer I run. So I get off of him, you know, I kind of loosen him up, make sure there's nothing, you know, under the cinches or girths, whatever you want to call it, that was bothering him, make sure there wasn't nothing up under the saddle that was pinching him. So you get back on, luck some more circles on him. Next steer, he's fine. Back in the box, third steer, I run down there, and he sure enough does break in two, and I mean buck me smooth off. And I hit the ground, knocks me out. And for those of you that don't, like, so those of you that don't know me, Trey, you can vouch for this, I'm not a small individual.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I'm not a small individual. And whenever I had a bunch of weight coming behind me, and when I hit the ground, like I said, it didn't feel very well.
Big tree fall hard.
Yep, that's true. And that is really true. And so, like I said, I hit the ground, knocked me out, woke me up. I had to go to the hospital, had a concussion, bruised lung, and some other stuff. And I had to go, like I said, I was out for a while. Like, I was out of commission for a little bit. So I had to go turn out of the rodeo. And, you know, I that weekend, I still went to the rodeo and hung out. because I didn't, like I said, I just didn't want to sit at the house. I mean, I just didn't want to be cooped up in the house all weekend. So I still went, you know, and I just hung out with everybody. You know, I didn't really do much. I just kind of, you know, just eased along, just kind of piddled around, like I didn't do too awful much. Well, there was a friend of mine that was, a friend of my family's, you know, like everybody knows him, you know, like in my family in Strawberry, everybody knows Marvin Blanton. He's a rodeo announcer from Campbell, South Carolina. And he was there announcing that rodeo. Me and my dad was talking to him before the performance, and he says, "Hey, how much would I have to pay you to announce this rodeo?" And I said, "I don't know." I told him, I said, I've always kind of wanted to try it, but I've never, you know, it's never something I really wanted to pursue. He goes, "Well, look, I want you to think about this, and I want you to come back tomorrow, and, you know, if you want to, you know, I'll let you have some mic time." He said, "You know, and you would be really good at it, you know, because one, you know the sport, you know how all the events work, you know all the contestants, you know about the rough stock, you know how everything works." And I thought, okay, I'll think about it. So I go home, you know, that night, you know, and you know where the rodeo was. It's 30 minutes from my house here in Pendleton, South Carolina, at the Double J Arena. And the rodeo, the youth association was the Foothills Youth Rodeo Association. That's where all of this took place. So I come home, we go back the next morning. They had already started the rodeo. So I get there, you know, and I see Marvin, he's over there at the announcer stand. You know, he's announced, like I said, because they done started. And I was like, you know what, I mean, I'll just go talk to him, you know, because at that deal, it wasn't like no big professional event. It wasn't like, you know, you hear the announcer talking about stats and all that. It was just kind of call names and time. That was it. So I walk over to Marvin, you know, I say, "Hey, Marvin, what's going on?" He doesn't say nothing much. "Hi, how you doing? Da, 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 da. You know, how you feeling? This, that, and other." Doesn't say nothing. He just hands me the microphone, tells me to sit down. And I'm like, "Huh? Do what?" He goes, "Yeah, here, sit down, right now, sit down." I said, "Okay." So I sit down, and he gets over there and is running music, and I announced the rest of that day. I announced the rest of the rodeo that day, or me and him did together. And after it was over, you know, I was walking around, and somebody said, "Hey, was that you announcing today?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, the person I talked to goes, "You might want to think about probably maybe pursuing that." I said, "What, announcing?" They said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why is that?" They said, "Because you were really good, like really good." I said, "Okay." And, you know, I mean, it was the first time, you know, I was like, this ain't the best in the world. So, you know, everybody kind of told me I'd done pretty decent that first day. Well, I go home, come back, do it again the next day. Well, same thing. Somebody went to me and said, "Hey, you done really darn good today and yesterday." And, you know, everybody was telling me how good I was doing. And I was like, that was weird. Because, like, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm sure, you know, you can, you know, Trey, I mean, your first time doing something, you know, you're like, that wasn't the greatest in the world. You know, somebody can tell you done good, but, you know, but in your mind, you never think it's good on the first go round.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, the first time I went down there to Earl and Carey's and clowned, I was scared to death. And my act, I've got a video of it, and I keep that thing pretty dang locked up. I don't let nobody see that thing because, I mean, it was not anything too shiny. So I get what you're saying 100%, and I think anybody, you know, contestant-wise, first time on a big stage, you know, personnel-wise, first time out there, like, everybody's got that moment of, oh, crap, like, we've been talking about it, but now we're fixing to do it. Like, this is real.
Yeah, that's right. So later that day, like I said, there was the guy that had the bulls there was Ernie Treadway. You know, you heard me and Lane talk about him before. And oh, yeah. He lives right out here 5 minutes from the house. And he was there. He had the bulls there at the junior rodeo. He goes, "Hey, I just had some dates open up and needing an announcer. You know, if you want to come do Pickens," and I showed you where Pickens, the arena was, it's literally 2 minutes from home.
Yep.
Literally. I can throw a rock and hit it. It's so close.
Right.
So he goes, hey, if you want to come do pickings, get you some equipment, and we'll get you lined up to do it. So I was like, sure, why not? So we get the dates nailed down. You know, I get the dates wrote down. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. So I go to Marvin. I tell him, I'm like, hey, you got some stuff that I can borrow? He goes, yeah. He goes, how many speakers do you think you would need? I said, three, I guess. Just give me three of them. So he gives me three speakers, three tripods, three XLR cables, one long XLR cable, and gives me a mixing board, a computer that's got music on it. So I had to go home as soon as I got the computer and figure out how to have all the how to work the computer. So I go home, do all that. I go to Pickens the first time I've ever stepped behind a microphone by myself. I set all the speakers up and, you know, get everything running. And Trey, you know how important power is.
Oh, yeah.
An amount. So at Pickens there, you know, out back, you know, to where he used to have the rodeo. So it hadn't always been right there. You know where that old building sits, like right across the creek there?
Yep.
So he used to have it when I first started announcing, it was out back behind that building. And all that was there was light towers, like generator light towers. So I get everything set up. I plug in the speakers. They're fine. They sound fine to me for sound check. You know, of course, at that time, I didn't really know how to equalize, you know, how to really adjust sound, you know, with highs, mids, and lows and all that. So I just done it to where I thought it sounded good.
Right.
You know, and it's fine. You know, everything's fine during sound check. Well, I get going during the rodeo and the breakers trip. And I kid you not, I bet you those breakers tripped 20 times that night.
Oh, no.
And it was, I don't say it was a disaster. It just kept, the breakers kept tripping. Like, no power, nothing could stay running. And then one time, I charged the computer up before I left. I thought the computer would have enough battery on it to last all night. Well, it did not. My computer, the battery died on it during the rodeo. So
oh boy.
That was a learning experience right there. But yeah, I mean that's kind of how I got started. You know, and kind of a little story about my first time ever behind the microphone. You know, literally, you know, trying to figure out how to operate sound type, trying to figure out how to really, you know, adjust sound to where it does sound good, and working with technology. And you know, after that night, you know, I kept coming back, you know, to Pickens, kept getting my bugs worked out, and kept on and on and on. And I done that in 2022. And my first full year was 2023. And I believe in 23, I think I booked like 36 or 37 rodeos. Last year, 24, I think I booked 40 something. And this year I counted, I got about the same amount as I did last year. So, like I said, I mean, I'm very, very fortunate and very blessed with everything, you know, like I said, I've been very, you know, that I've been, you know, been able to come up with and book and all that, you know, the connections I've made and, you know, meeting people I never thought I'd meet and going places I never thought I'd go.
Oh, 100%. And that's the same thing with me. You know, the rodeo and part's cool. I love my job, but really what it is the people you get to meet, the places you get to go, the things you get to do. I mean, that's what makes rodeoing special, because what other job in the world will take you to the places and allow you to meet the people that you do other than rodeo? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, you know, there's people, you know, like I said, I mean, there's people that I've known who they were forever. And I've been big fans of them for a long time. Like, for example, you know, I'm going to work for him this weekend, the 4L crew. I've always known who Charlie was. I've always known who Ross was. I've always known who Miss Wanda was. You know, I've always known who they were. And I've been a big fan of their rodeos for a long time. Well, you know, like I said, you know, at the end of 23, I got the call of, you know, Mr. Charlie. He said, you know, hey, would you be interested in coming to work for 4L? And I said, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, like, I booked some rodeos for him. And, you know, it's kicked off from there. Like I said, and I never thought I'd probably ever get to meet Mr. Charlie. And, you know, for those, you know, for everybody that knows Mr. Charlie Lowry, he's probably one of the greatest men you'll ever meet.
Right.
Nicest guy in the world. I mean, you won't meet nobody more, you know, like I said, like you won't meet nobody more cowboy than Mr. Charlie. I mean, he is cowboy can get.
Right. And I mean, that's the thing, you know, you get to go work for Mr. Charlie and Miss Wanda there, and it all started with a kid that showed up to a rodeo because he got bucked off his horse, and a guy gave you a chance behind the microphone, and kind of, well, I guess he didn't really give you a chance. He told you to sit down, and this is what you were going to do, you know.
Yeah.
And now, you know, look at you. You're two, three years down the road here, and you've got a full schedule, you know, just as full as anybody would want to be. Got a full schedule. You've done, what, two SRA finals now?
Yeah, two trips back-to-back to the SRA finals there at Asheville, North Carolina. But, you know, that's the rodeo is pretty close to home. And, like I said, two trips there. And, like I said, hopefully make many more in the future to go back to that rodeo. It's a, you know, it's one, I guess you say, it holds a special place to me, you know, a special place in my heart to me, because, I mean, that's the first finals I ever got to work. And, like I said, it's one that I hope to get to work more and more and more, as long as they'll keep letting me come back.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that you will, man, because, I mean, that really speaks volumes to the job that you do. You know, I've gotten the chance to work with you a couple times now, and, man, it's a blast. And you do such a good job inside the arena, outside the arena, you know, in all aspects of it, that you just make my job easy as can be. And I have no doubt they'll keep having you back, because, I mean, that just speaks to the quality of announcer that you are, you know, being 2 years into it, and you've already announced the SRA finals twice, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and, you know, right back at you, you know, about the mid-state finals, you know, maybe what you've worked on, what, three times, and you're a three-time mid-state clown of the year.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that, like, you know, same thing right there. That just speaks to how great of a job Trey can do. And like I said, I promise you, you know, any announcers out there, you know, that knows Trey and, you know, hadn't got to work with him yet, or, you know, anybody that is going to get to work with Trey, like I said, you will have a blast getting to work with the kid in the can.
Well, we try our best. And like you said about the SRA finals, like, the Mid-State finals hold a special place in my heart too, because, like, that was my the Pro Edge Arena. I can't get any better than them. I mean, Earl and Carey, they gave me my start. They'll always and forever be my number ones, you know. If they wouldn't have gave a little kid a start, you know, I might not be where I am today, because we're in the middle of COVID, and, you know, being a little 14-year-old kid wanting to be a clown, you know, the guys that have been doing this for years are out of a job because there's no rodeos, you know what I mean? And for Pro Edge to give me a chance to come down there and start, you know, I'll forever be in their debt. But the Mid-State Finals was kind of my first big finals, and that'll be, you know, I've gotten to do them the last 3 years, and I'm super blessed to be able to do that. And like you said about their SRA Finals, I want to keep going back as long as I can, because it holds a special place in my heart for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Go ahead.
I was like, yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a gist of how me and Trey both got started. You know, like I said, Trey, you know, just starting out at the bull riding, and I was starting out here at the little rodeo here next to the house. And like I said, you know, and I'm sure you're the same way, Trey. If Ernie calls me, he won't say, "Hey, can you come do picking on this weekend if you're open?" I'm never going to say no.
Because, absolutely.
Like I said, you know, without that rodeo, I mean, I probably would never be announcing.
Right.
I would never be announcing if it was not for that rodeo.
Right. And man, that's the cool thing, you know, and that's the kind of stories we want to bring onto the podcast and people, so they can understand and see how people got their start and, you know, where people came from and what they're doing now. Because like I said before, nobody sees the story of how it became. They just see the finished product. You know what I mean? And,
oh yeah.
And that's something, you know, you know, professional sports, you know, football, soccer, baseball, that kind of stuff, they're televised all the time. They're, you know, reporters are at them guys' throats all the time. They're having constant, you know, media coverage. Rodeo contestants, it's getting better, you know, with the Cowboy Channel, with Ride Pass, you know, Wrangler Network, all that. And, I mean, social media has blown up and really allowed people to kind of see a little bit more of the behind the scenes and the you know, beyond the mic, in the arena type aspect of rodeo, but honestly, not a lot of people get to see or take the time to see, what goes on behind the scenes, and I think that's something that if we can shed light on that and show the people and get to share the stories of people that are in rodeo and even outside of rodeo. Like, I've gotten some ideas for guests that they may not be a contestant or personnel or something, but they're associated with rodeo or agriculture, and just be able to share their stories and their life stories. I think that's something that people would really, really enjoy and enjoy listening to. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. We're talking about, like I said, talking about like guests outside of rodeo that may not be rodeo contestants, we recorded a podcast with, somebody already that's not a rodeo contestant, and they'll be seeing that episode later on. And I know you probably know who I'm talking about.
Man, but, that loves him a good sunset and a beverage.
Oh Lordy. Well, I promise you'll hear all about it, folks, whenever we decide to release that podcast. That's kind of how me and Trey, like I said, you heard a little just how we both got started, and what you're gonna see here on here on the Beyond the Mic podcast. Yeah, and here brings us to another question. How in the world did we even think about starting this thing? What came up to start this thing?
Well, and that's what you and I have talked about it, and the close people that are our friends know. I'd kind of had an idea for having a podcast, and it just ain't come to, it just ain't come about, until lately. I've had the idea, and I've been kind of collecting the supplies and stuff, and I got me a soundboard and some mics and some cords and some headphones, and they'd been sitting around. I ain't done nothing with them. And when I took off to go to the Carolinas for a couple weeks here, I went, and the Scruggs were nice enough to let me stay at their house there while I was rodeoing down that way, and I knew that I was going to be with Luke and be around a lot of cool people down there, and I was like, man, I need to take that equipment, and whether I'm ready to start it or not, I need to get some stuff in, because I done spent the money on this stuff. If we're going to spend the money on it, we got to start using it, you know what I mean? So Luke and I, we've known each other for a long time. We've known of each other, but we didn't get a chance to meet each other till, what was it, last year, I think, or the year before?
The year before.
And we've kind of been friends since and talked, but we've not really got a chance to hang out. And we've seen each other at a couple of rodeos, but we never really got a chance to hang out and talk or even get to work together until this year. And after getting to hang out and talk and work together, we've became really, really close friends. And like I said, the Scruggs were nice enough to let me stay down there. And so we whipped out the podcast equipment, and we were putting down some episodes and stuff. And I got to thinking, we got through the first one of just me interviewing him. And I was like, man, this is my podcast, and you're interviewing me better than I am you, he's just good at that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a smooth talker, and he asks the hard hitting questions, and I'm good at listening to the stories and telling some of my own, and having a good time. But Luke, he's just a smooth talking, upright walking type of guy. And being one of my close friends, I figured, what the heck, the best thing I could do for myself is to, surround yourself with people that are going to make you better. So I was like, hey man, let's do this thing together, And he was nice enough to be and gracious enough to say yes and jump on board with me. And I'm sure glad to have him,
Oh yeah. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun, by God.
Yeah. That was, like I said, I kind of had the idea, and Luke, he's always liked this kind of stuff too. We got it done with his podcast, and I was like, man, screw this. I ain't doing this alone. It's way better talking with you about stuff. I was like, we'll do it together, and we'll have a little podcast together, and it'll be a good time. And that's really the whole point of it. I mean, that's the point of what we're wanting to do here, is just have a good time. I mean, and be able to sit and talk and talk amongst ourselves and even with our guests, and give you people the inside look of what it's like to maybe be sitting in the back seat of the truck going down the road listening to rodeo stories, or, sitting around the trailer, in the afternoon after you went to the Mexican restaurant and had your good old lunch with little Juan Carlos there, and you're going to sit and tell some stories at the trailer, It's
oh yeah.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of it, is to just have fun and let loose and be able to tell the behind the mic and behind the shoots and backstage behind the scenes stories of rodeo, you know.
Yes, sir. Yeah. After you go to the Mexican restaurant and get you a good lunch and you get to the trailer and you're sitting in that air conditioner, you're like, oh, I really want to take a nap, but I'm like, I got to go do sound check.
Right. That's mostly what happens. The stories are usually told after the rodeo.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. Most time, probably at the Waffle House.
Yes, at the Waffle House, getting you a chocolate chip peanut butter waffle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But
most time, hopefully without a security guard.
Yes, we've got some stories like that for sure. We'll have to tell some other time about the Waffle House.
Oh, but, yeah.
But, well, Luke, we kind of gave him an idea of what we're going to talk about. We kind of gave him an idea of, you know, where we come from, what our stories are. And we're excited. We're excited to share with you guys the guests that we're going to have on and share their stories as well. So I think if you're good, we're going to wrap her up for the night, and we're going to get this deal posted and put out. And before you know it, we'll have another episode for you folks.
Oh, yeah. Like that. And, you know, and if everybody wondering, you know, who might be on this next episode, who's the first guest, I promise you it's going to be a banger. You know, like I said, this first guy, you know, I think everybody's going to like him. And, you know, if you don't know him somehow, oh, you know, you can get to know him, you know, he's a great guy to have in your corner. And actually he's a great person to listen to. And everybody, you know, everybody will probably really, really love the first guest we're going to have on.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think if I remember, we recorded the podcast previously, and if I remember correctly, we started off with Kickstart Your Heart. But hey, that podcast is going to kickstart this podcast, I guess. That episode is going to kickstart the podcast as our first guest, but it's going to be a good one, and we have a good time for sure. And we're going to be trying to put them out as smooth and efficiently as we can with both of our rodeo schedules being as busy as they are. We're going into the hashtag summer run, as we call it. We're going to try to put them out, and that way, you know, everybody can listen to them going down the road, or, you know, when you get tired. We both know how it is going down the road tired at night. You got to have something to listen to, and eventually, you know, the music don't always work, and if the window rolling down don't always work, sometimes you got to listen to people talk.
Yes, sir, for sure, for sure.
But you bet. Well, hey, man, we're going to wrap her up. You got any final words for the people?
Hey, do what's right. Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you, and so do we. All right, folks, we thank you. We'll see you at the next episode. It's going to be a good time. Keep rolling with us. Keep up with us on social media. We thank you, and good night.